Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So today's episode, I wanted to focus on something that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, or they might not know that they have it or that there's an actual name for it. Sometimes people can feel a bit isolated with this type of thing. Food noise, right? So this is something that I only kind of came to discover, especially during my fitness photo shoot prep. It was definitely more prevalent in my case, just because the restriction is obviously a hell of a lot worse when you're doing a fitness photo shoot prep. Like, there's no room for enjoyment. Well, there is, like, but you make that sacrifice at the start when you sign up. But before I jump into talking about food noise, I just want to do the usual weekly rundown of how my calorie deficit is going at the moment and how my half marathon training is going at the moment. So first of all, deficit. So coming to the end of week 4 and the scale still hasn't budged. Now bear in mind, the first 2 weeks were at maintenance. So it's been 2 weeks now where I've been in a deficit, still not a full deficit. So there's 2 days of the week where I'm in a full 500 calorie deficit. Now, does that mean I'm eating 500 calories a day? Absolutely not, because someone actually thought I was when I shared that on my story. I'm eating 500 calories below what I should be eating to maintain my weight. So if I eat 500 calories by 7 days, 500 calories less by 7 days, that's 3,500 calories. How many calories is in a pound of fat? 3,500 calories. So at the moment, there's only 2 days where I'm eating 500 calories less than my maintenance. And then the other 5 days, I'm eating 300 calories less than my maintenance. So I'm in a smaller deficit 5 days of the week, but my cardio increased this week by an extra 5 minutes. My steps went up by an extra 1,000 steps. Now, it is Sunday when I'm recording this. So, you know, my calories dropped. This week, only my cardio increased and my steps increased. Like, my food didn't drop again. So my food dropped on week 3. So just let me just give a brief overview. Week 1 and 2, calorie deficit for 2 days, which were my rest days. And then I was in, I was eating maintenance then on 5 days. Then week 3, my food dropped 500 calories again on rest days, but 300 calories less on training days. So then week 4, food stayed the same, but my cardio went up by 5 minutes and my steps went up by 1,000. So currently doing 35 minutes of cardio the last 5 days now, since the beginning of week 4, and an extra 1,000 steps as well on top of that. So food hasn't changed in 2 weeks basically. So I have a feeling now when I come into my next check-in, which is Wednesday, like, I still have another 3 days on these calories, but I was at a wedding on Friday and I had a really low calorie, high protein breakfast. Lunch. I had my usual oats and protein for my breakfast, just to get some carbs in as well for energy and stuff. Went to the gym and did my steps and did my cardio. And then for lunch then I had an egg white omelette and some chicken. And then I saved obviously a ton of calories, probably about 800, 900 calories then, to enjoy some food at the barbecue. So, you know, even if I did go over my calories a bit, it probably would have been only be by 100 or 200, which in the grand scheme of things isn't a lot, considering I made loads of room. And then obviously I was very, very active during the week and then just got back to normal then on the Saturday. However, I have a feel now coming into this Wednesday with my next check-in, like, food has to drop. Like, I trust my coach and I know if I said I want to get to this weight by a certain date, he will ramp up the cardio, drop my food if needs be. Because I remember when I was doing fitness photo shoot prep, it took 5 weeks for things to start to move and we were trialing like different calories every week. Like, say after the first 2 weeks, he's like, okay, things still aren't moving. Let's adjust this. You know, after 3 weeks then, things still weren't moving. Okay, let's adjust this. Like, it got to like 4 weeks before he was like, okay, I'm going to make this change and things have to move after this. Like, they just have to. And thankfully they did. And that was dropping the food. So, you know, I've never had to diet on 1,200 calories, thank God, because I would find that very unsustainable. But there are some people who have to diet on 1,200 calories if they can't exercise. The more active you are, the more food you get to eat. Sometimes people are just like, I have not got the time to exercise. I barely have the time to walk. So what's the only carrot that they're left with? Is to eat low food. That's the only solution, because they're not expending energy anywhere. So it means that they don't have to take in a lot of energy. AKA food, and that's the one thing that can only control it in those circumstances. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if food drops again, because I'll have 9 weeks then till the end of August. And we said we were going to give ourselves 14 weeks. So ideally, I would have likened to see the scale move by now, to be honest. So look, there's still another 3 days to go. And if there is movement, happy days, we can stick to this plan, because momentum always builds like towards the end of a calorie deficit. Any of the calorie deficits I've done in the last few years, you start off nice and easy, nice and slow. And then, you know, as the end gets near, then you kind of build up momentum, your cardio is in a high place, your food is in a lower place, because you know, like, there's not much longer left in the deficit, so you can afford to kind of like make them bold moves. But when you're like going in at 200% on week one and you have 14 weeks ahead of you, like, it's not sustainable. You're not going to be able to carry on like for that long. Now, when you sign up for a fitness photo shoot, even still, like, you know, the first few weeks you're kind of easing yourself in, and then things start to dramatically pick up the pace. But and then also, while I've been doing cardio, I've obviously been substituting Stairmaster sessions 3 times a week for like runs, because I'm training for the half marathon, which is in 2 weeks. So this day, 2 weeks, it would be over and done. It's actually on a Saturday, which is bizarre. I always thought like marathons landed on a Sunday, just because, you know, Sundays are a day where most people don't work, or it's easier to get off work. But yeah, it's Saturday and I'm feeling confident about it. One thing that I just learned from my last 15 kilometer run is, you know, I sometimes let my ego get in the way of the start of runs, and, you know, your legs are fresh. You're bursting with beans, you are, because you've loads of energy. Your legs are fresh. You're full of confidence. You know, those Alpha Fly runners that I have, honestly, it's like running on a mattress. It's like having springs underneath your heels. Like, they really do give you an extra 10 seconds of speed per kilometer. Like, or they knock off an extra 10 seconds, I should say. But after the 15 kilometer run, I just realized, okay, and you're like, you need to control your pace at the start, because you're going out too quick and you think you're great, and then it starts catching up with you then in like the 10th kilometer, and it starts to become like hell then for the last few kilometers, because you've burned up so much energy at the start. Although it didn't feel like it because you were fresh, it does catch up with you, always catches up with you. So I need to, instead of, you know, looking at my watch thinking, whoa, 5:20 pace, for the first like 5 kilometers, it does catch up with you. So I need to work on staying between 5:30 and 5:40, because I'm going to try get bang on 2 hours. Be a bonus if I get anything underneath that, but my first half marathon was 2 hours 4 minutes. I'd love to even knock the 4 minutes off, but again, that's gonna, I'm glad I learned from the 15 kilometer run now, okay, because I've to do an 18 kilometer run. I was supposed to do it this morning, but I'm getting a pain in my calf all week, and anytime I apply impact to it. So I was grand after last week's long run, and then I did a speed session in the gym during the week on the treadmill, and every time like my left foot hit the ground, or hit the treadmill I should say, I kept getting a shooting pain up my calf. It was weird, it was like a throbbing pain, and then it was obviously paining me afterwards then, because it's obviously like it was after flaring up because I was running on it. And then the following evening I was in the gym and I was doing step ups on the bench, which are a glute exercise. They're great. Like, my glutes were in bits then for 2 days after, like with DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness. But every time I stood up on the bench and came down on my left foot, I could feel that shock again going up through my calf. And then this morning I had to go over to just the local shops. I was getting a bottle of water and I just said, you know what, I'll run over, which is like, you know, probably 200 meters over, 200 meters back. But I ran over, and even at 200 meters, I could feel it flaring up again. So I'm getting a bit worried now. I don't even think it's about distance. I just think it's about any time I run on it or apply impact to it. So I was supposed to do 18 kilometers this morning. I didn't. I told my coach there 2 days ago. I was like, look, I might push it out till Monday morning. My friend actually went out to Clontarf and did 18 kilometers, and he was saying he was absolutely blown out of it. The wind was really strong out there. And there's nothing worse when you're running against the wind. Like, it's just so uncomfortable, and you are like fighting an uphill battle. Like, you feel like you're running against the wind and it's slowing you down a bit. But I think it's supposed to be the same weather in the morning as well. But I'm really hoping that it subsides, because I'll be getting worried now about, you know, doing the half marathon in 2 weeks time. If this pain is an ongoing thing, like, you know, worst case scenario, I might not be able to do it. But that's just me spiraling. But if I do this 18 kilometer run tomorrow and it flares up and I have to stop halfway, yeah, it's not looking good, bruv. It's not looking good. But hopefully it's just a bit of stress on the calf, and maybe a bit of rest might do it good. Hopefully, fingers crossed. But that's how things are going anyway. And then, yeah, back to food noise. So I was actually talking on my stories the other day that I'm actually starting my ADHD medication tomorrow. Okay, so that's why I had to go and get blood tests. So my psychiatrist seen the blood test. He was happy with everything and he gave me my prescription. First of all, ADHD medication, my jaw hit the fucking floor when I went over to the chemist and collected my prescription. And she was like, €85. I was like, oh my God. I'm just so used to like, whenever I've been sick, I'll get antibiotics over the counter. And you know, they're probably like 20 to 30 quid at most. So €85, I think, is the most amount of money I've paid for any type of medicine. And I've never been on any medication. But now, look, that's for the month. So it's literally like, you know, €22 a week. However, I don't know how I'm going to react to this medication. I don't know whether, you know, the dose is going to be right for me. I don't know whether they might put me on different meds. This is the titration period. So I have to see now, you know, if my body agrees with this medication. And then I have to up the dose after 2 weeks. So they gave me, I think, 20 milligrams for the first 2 weeks, or it could have been 10. I actually forget now if it's 10 or 20. And then in week 3 and 4, then it goes up by another 10 milligrams or 20 milligrams. I have the two vials in a bag, the pharmacy bag. I still haven't opened yet. But yeah, so that's what I'm going to have to do for the next month. But I see it as an investment in myself. You know, like I could be spending 85 quid on takeaways and alcohol that aren't going to do me any good. But this might actually help me be more productive, which is going to make me work harder, which is going to give me a better return from my financial aspect. And then also, you know, it's going to make me feel better about my own life, because I'm putting the head down, I'm working harder and stuff like that, and I actually feel like I have a bit of a purpose, because I discussed some of the symptoms. I know I did a completely separate podcast episode on this, but some of the symptoms, you know, I seen a video on TikTok, like there was just loads that were just kind of clicking with me. I was like, that's me to a T. And all along throughout my life, I just thought, oh, maybe I'm just a bit mentally lazier than other people, or why am I like this, or does everybody like experience this? Like when I was in college, like I used to always leave my assignments till the like final hour. I'd always be rushing. Like sometimes I find like I'm late for everything, and not so much now, but like I'll always like leave things to the last minute, and then, you know, I get really frustrated that I'm rushing and I'm running late, and it's down to me. Like it's not because I was busy beforehand, it's like I literally waited for the final moment to leave the house. And then, you know, you're so stressed then, you're getting frustrated, you're snappier and stuff, and just so many other symptoms. But one of the symptoms actually is, you know, impulsivity. Like you're more impulsive with your decision making. So like that could come down to like spending money on clothes that, you know, you already have enough clothes, like why do you need to buy more? It's like you're getting that hit of dopamine every time you make a purchase or add something to your cart or spend money on it. So like people with ADHD are more prone to addictive behavior, because we lack dopamine. So our dopamine levels are completely different to that of a neurotypical person. So we're always chasing dopamine hits and, like, you know, places where we can get it quickly. So like scrolling on your phone, you know, laughing, getting the, like I even notice every morning I wake up, I scroll on my phone just straight away. I pick up the phone. It's a habit. But again, it's quick dopamine. What else? Again, online shopping, or it could be gambling, or I don't know, it could be drinking alcohol. Just loads of things that have a low return in the long term, but a high return in the short term. So like you're getting dopamine quickly. So like dopamine is nearly like the kind of the middleman of between not doing something now and doing something you know, in a short space of time. So like motivation. So do you ever think about like, oh, I can't wait to like get my gym clothes in, I can't wait to start clean eating on Monday? Like when you start getting excited, that's dopamine being released into your system. So there's a difference between thinking it and actually doing it. So ADHD people have a habit of thinking about doing things, but never actually acting on it. Now, that's not to say if you lack motivation, you have ADHD. Like, you know, the general public suffer with motivation, especially when it comes to things that doesn't give them short-term gratification. Like when you're losing weight, you have to wait for weeks down the line to see the return on that, you know. But scrolling on your phone or eating tasty food, like you get a high return on that straight away, short-term gratification, they call it. But when it comes to losing weight, you have to rely on long-term gratification. So making sacrifices now when it comes to like eating the tasty food, or, you know, skipping a gym session so you can watch another episode on Netflix, that's going to obviously, you know, make you feel good in the short term. But in the long term, it's not really going to do much for you, is it? So yeah, people with ADHD, we lack dopamine. So what the medication does is it balances out like the dopamine in your system. So like when you're sitting down to focus at a laptop,
You know, you're not like going onto your phone in between tasks and like scrolling on TikTok. You actually just zone in and 100% focus, you know. Now, obviously, there's a lot of side effects. I'm aware of that. But when I spoke about impulsivity, there's another symptom that people with ADHD can suffer with, and that's food noise. Okay. And actually, the medication that I'm on is actually used as well to treat binge eating disorder. I was reading up on it. So one of the side effects of this ADHD medication that I'm taking is suppressed appetite. Okay, so you can see now why it's used for the treatment of binge eating disorder, because it suppresses your appetite. You know, you don't find food as appealing as you once would have. But anyway, food noise, just because you have it doesn't mean you have ADHD either, all right? But it's obviously heightened more when you're dieting, because you know you can't have food in abundance. You actually have to control your intake. Now, I noticed food noise a lot more when I was doing a fitness photo shoot prep, because I knew I had to be so much more restrictive and the sacrifices that I had to make, etc. It's like telling a child you can't have this toy or you can't have this piece of, or these sweets, you know, and the child obviously has an outburst, it cries because it wants something that it can't have, okay? So that's a bit like what food noise is like. So imagine, I'm just going to compare it to this. Imagine you had to do public speaking. You had a big presentation in work and it was in like 2 or 3 weeks and you are terrified of public speaking, okay? Like people who even have to make speeches at their wedding sometimes contact me and they're like, Enya, how do you do public speaking? I'm absolutely terrified about this. Like I totally get it. Look, that's a conversation for another day. But like you would obviously be very, very anxious about that, and it would be hanging over you, you know, in the build up to it and in 3 weeks time, and it's all you can think about. On your mind every day, oh my god, this speech I'm gonna have to make, I'm terrified, what if this, what if that. Okay, so imagine just thinking about food to that extent every day while you're in a diet, like constantly thinking about your next meal. And it's like, you know, when you say, for example, want to buy a car, and let's say it's a black BMW, do you ever notice now your mind is like a sponge and it ends up spotting black BMWs everywhere you go, because it's like you're more prone to it now. It's like your mind is more impressionable when it comes to black BMWs, and they might have been invisible to you beforehand, but now you're seeing them fucking everywhere. Okay, that's what it's like when you're dieting and you suffer with food noise. Like I remember when I was doing my fitness photo shoot prep, especially towards the end when it was getting tougher, mentally tougher, I'd be on the Stairmaster in the gym and there's tellies in the gym, and all I would see is ads for pizza, ads for, you know, takeaways, ads for specials in the supermarket. Just everything was about fucking food. Like it was so hard. I was seeing it everywhere because my brain was just more prone to picking up things about food because I needed it. I wanted more food than I was currently having. But again, if I wanted results, I obviously had to follow a system and be consistent with that. And then on TikTok, I would be looking for ways to like change up my different meals to keep things interesting for me. And you know what the algorithm is like. If you start searching recipes, what's it going to do? It's going to start showing you more recipes then as you're scrolling. So not only was I getting a hit of dopamine scrolling through TikTok, but all that was coming up on my timeline was recipe videos. Food, like I mean really tasty food that I probably could have made and fit into my calories as well, because they were like low calorie, high protein recipes. But they were just, it would be like in the evening when you're at the using up all your calories, and then you're looking at these videos of these tasty meals and you're just thinking, oh my god, like you're going to bed and you're excited about having your breakfast in the morning, like that could be 8 hours away. Like it's just constantly on your mind. So to be honest, if suppressed appetite is a side effect of this medication, I would gladly fucking welcome it, because it can be tough. But one way I found was a good way of dealing with food noise is not to have so many gaps in between when I was eating, because you're constantly thinking, okay, only 3 more hours now, so like I can eat only 4 more hours or whatever. Or like, you know, if you spent a good bulk of calories on a breakfast or a lunch and you only had, like, let's say it's 1 o'clock in the day and you're like, oh my God, like I've already eaten like 900 calories and it's only 1 o'clock in the day. Like I've only 500 calories left to do me for the rest of the day. Like how am I going to spread that out? And all of a sudden you become more aware of it. You become more conscious. You know, you feel hungry, but your stomach's not making any noise. Like it's more like a placebo thing than anything else. But one way I found, a good way of dealing with it was the 2-hour rule. I call it the 2-hour rule, right? So every 2 hours I was eating something, and it didn't even have to be a meal. It could be a biscuit or it could be a snack. So for example, it would just mean that there wasn't such a big gap between when I was eating next, you know, and it wouldn't be on my mind as much. I'm like, oh, well, I only have to wait like another hour and a half now until I eat again. And it's just that kind of little it's kind of like a little release, you know, like that you don't have to wait as long. You're not waiting 4 or 5 hours where it feels nearly impossible, because obviously people with ADHD suffer really bad with like patience. Like we lack patience big time. Like I even find if I have to send out a long text to someone, or sometimes I want to like have a debate with someone, like it could be me friend or whatever, and I'm like, the actual mental capacity of like speaking this sentence or like having to explain something to someone, I just don't have the patience for it. Like that's how much I lack patience. So as you can understand now, I get very antsy when there's a long gap between eating now and eating next. But sometimes if I'm really, really, really busy, like I could eat at like 9 o'clock in the morning and my day could just be absolutely bedlam and food is the last thing on my mind. So sometimes it can come down to what is actually going on in your life at the moment where food is of the utmost importance, because a lot of the time I wouldn't even be hungry. It's just my mind chasing a quick dopamine hit, because food, again, I'm not a bingey, or like I used to kind of binge sometimes unbeknownst to me when I was younger, like in my 20s and stuff. But like, you know, you're getting that quick hit of dopamine when you're eating tasty food. And then what happens after a few minutes? It wears off and you feel like shit about yourself. But that's what I'm chasing when it comes to food. That's what I'm chasing, that dopamine release from eating. Just a simple task like eating. And then some people don't experience that at all. Like I coach women all the time who they just, and they say, oh, I just forgot to eat. And like, how do you forget to eat? All I think about 24 hours a day is fucking food, and I don't even be hungry. Like just all I think about. Like when I used to work in Extravision, like I used to just be surrounded by confectionery all day long. It was back when I hadn't got a clue about calories, you know, how to properly diet and stuff like that, how to do it in a sustainable way. I used to go home like after most shifts at 10 o'clock in the evening with one of those big large Milka chocolate bars. The dime ones were like delicious. Half a bag of jellies from the Pick and Mix stall and a large popcorn, and like would eat and not bother to me. I wouldn't think twice about it. Like that's easily 2,000 to 2,500 calories. And you know, when I would do that consistently, like after a few months, I did start noticing in my weight, like me trousers that I wore to work were getting tighter on me, and it caught up on me, you know. But again, I was just chasing, oh God, you know what, I've been working hard all day, I can't wait to go home and eat this and just watch the telly. But now I couldn't even imagine doing that, you know. But that's what I was chasing. But anyway, back to food noise, the 2 hour rule. So for example, I have a schedule, right? I remember what I was saying about I coach some women and they forget to eat. I try to get them into a routine of eating, because some people do genuinely, they don't even suffer from food noise. They just, they're so busy, they just forget to eat. And what happens is then when you're seriously like under eating, it is going to affect your training. Like, you know, if you're going for long periods without eating, you're not feeling properly going into workouts. And then they're coming back to me and they're saying, I was getting lightheaded when I was in the gym this morning. I was like, well, when was the last time you ate? And they're like, oh, probably 4 o'clock yesterday. And I'm like, right, well, you've just done a gym workout and then you've done 30 minutes of cardio afterwards. Like, what do you expect? You know, like you're running on empty here. So again, sometimes you actually have to train a grown person into eating regularly. I'm like, would you actually, and they have kids, and I'm like, would you actually let your child go that long without eating? No, because you need to take care of yourself. You're worried about taking care of everyone else, but you actually have to feed yourself. You know, and this is why they're crashing then in the evening, because they haven't eaten all day, or they haven't had time to eat all day. And what happens when they get to the evening? They actually are genuinely hungry. Their stomach is screaming at them and they end up overeating. And because they've went so long without eating, their brain, leptin is the hormone, okay, that tells your stomach when you're full, okay, sends a message from your brain to your stomach. And then ghrelin is what tells your body that you're hungry. Your brain sends a message to your stomach, and that's where the hunger pains come from. So obviously ghrelin is screaming at you, eat, eat, you haven't eaten in ages. And then when you start eating, leptin takes longer, that message from your brain to your stomach, it takes longer for your brain to send that, because it's like, hold on a minute, you haven't eaten all day. I don't know when you're going to eat again. So I'm going to make sure you get a lot of food here. I'm not going to tell you when you're full for a very long time. So that's why you end up overeating. And, you know, if you were regularly eating, you would have felt full a whole lot sooner. But your body is like, don't know when you're going to eat next. Let's just keep eating and eating, because this food's probably going to have to do us for another 12 hours because you might not eat again. That's you know, me just dumbing it down. But that's exactly how it works. So that's why regular eating is really important. But back to the 2 hour thing, how many times have I said I'm going to come back to this? So how I dealt with the food noise is, obviously I would eat regularly anyway. Because I remember I used to be one of those people where I would forget to eat. And I find now, because I eat more regularly, my appetite, it's not that it's heightened, but it's just, you know, it's definitely increased over the years because I eat regularly now. And I think the less frequently you eat, your appetite is going to be all over the place. Like some days you aren't going to want to eat and some days you will. So I do think food night is heightened as well because, you know, I'm eating more regularly now. Like I said, like I sometimes wouldn't even have a breakfast. Years ago, like I'd probably have a bowl of cornflakes some mornings of the week and then four biscuits for my lunch. And then, you know, maybe a pork chop and some spuds because I used to hate my man dad's cooking. I hated it. And then, you know, maybe another four biscuits in the evening. Like that was my diet. And sometimes I wouldn't even put on weight, but it was when it came to the weekend and I was eating takeaways or going out for food with my friends 3 or 4 days a week and then just eating shite in the evenings. Like that's where all the calories came from as well as the alcohol. But what I do now is I eat every 2 hours. Okay. So let's say 9/10 is when I have my breakfast. And then in 2 hours time, I'll have a cappuccino and a fulfill bar. Sometimes it might be a pastry. It depends, right? But I'll walk down to the coffee shop some days of the week. Other days I won't have a coffee and I'll just go on a walk around the park. But that will be around like 12 or 1. So I'll have a cappuccino and a fulfill bar. I'll walk back. That's nearly like 7,000 steps already. So I'm hitting two boards with the one stone. I know at the end of, well, halfway through the walk, I'll get a snack and then I walk back. And then around 2, 3, well, maybe around 3 or 4, I'll have my lunch then. And then around 5 or 6, I'll have maybe like a small chocolate bar or I'll have a can of Diet Coke and a biscuit or a small chocolate bar. And then around 7 or 8, I'll have my last meal. And then before I go to bed, I'll like have a can of Diet Coke. Now I'll be drinking water, obviously, in between all these as well. I'll have like a can of Diet Coke and maybe like a pack of Treble Crunch. So every 2 hours I'm eating something. Whereas like I'm not just having a meal at 9, then another meal at 3, and then another meal at 7, because I found that tough. So if it means I'm having smaller meals, because I can then like, you know, spend a few hundred calories on snacks then throughout the day, that's fine as long as I'm hitting my protein goal. But that works for me. That doesn't mean that that's going to work for you. But I did find that having something to look forward to every 2 hours, even if it was only a snack, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I've just had my breakfast. I'm feeling peckish again. I wouldn't even be hungry. It's more like a mental thing. So instead of like pigging out and caving in, I know, right, well, you know, I get to have my cappuccino and my fulfill bar in the next 2 hours, you know, and like hour and a half really, because it's going to take me a half hour to walk, and I'll get a bit of work done in between. Like sometimes I feel like if you're standing around twiddling your thumbs all day and you don't have a busy schedule, that's where the food noise is at its loudest. And sometimes we have to just remember that there's more to life than food. And I did have to tell myself that, because on the days where I was really busy and I would go 5 hours without eating, and you know, then I would actually start to feel hungry and I'm like, do you know what? I'm actually starting to feel the effects. Like you start feeling like you had like low blood sugar, you know, you kind of feel a little bit weak. And that's what intuitive eating is. Intuitive eating is actually waiting until you're hungry to eat. Now, it doesn't mean starving yourself to the point where you do feel hungry and you're like, no, I'm only going to eat every 5 or 6 hours. No, like have your breakfast and then when you feel hungry next, eat again. And not like mentally hungry. I'm talking where your stomach actually starts growling. Okay, eat again. But sometimes that doesn't work for people because they do have busy schedules and you don't want to be, you know, in the middle of the office or doing a presentation at 4 o'clock in the day and you start getting hunger pains. You're like, sorry, lads, can we just shelve this meeting for a moment? I have to go eat a meal. So it does work for some people and then it doesn't work for others. But I find that people who do choose intuitive eating were guilty of just eating whatever they want when they want, you know, and that does kind of mess up your appetite too. So I do think having some type of routine does work wonders. It takes a while to get into. It feels like a chore at the start, but especially when you're not used to like making yourself solid meals. Like honestly, when I look back at the life I had years ago, I sometimes think to myself, how did I live the way I did for so long? Like I just had no clue about nutrition, no clue about food. Like I barely ate, and it was when it came to the weekends I'd be binge drinking and eating takeaways, or some days I'd only have like one proper meal a day, but I'd be having like 6 or 7 biscuits and then I'd be having a donut and then I'd be having like, you know, full fat Coke or full fat orange, like Fanta. And that would easily add up to about 2,000 calories, you know, when you're snacking on all that shite and it's not filling you. And that's why you keep going back and snacking on it, because you're still never satisfied. Whereas then when I actually started learning about nutrition and educating myself, I realized, okay, a meal is actually going to fill me more here than 6 biscuits. Like, you know, a chocolate digestive is about 80 calories. Like 8 sixes is like, that's nearly 480 calories. Like, that's a meal, 6 biscuits. That's a fucking meal, you know, that would fill you for about 4 or 5 hours, where those biscuits are only going to fill you for about 30 minutes, you know, if even. Feck all protein in them, nothing. They don't do anything for you. Yeah, they might taste nice in the moment, but, you know, half an hour later, you're hungry again. And that's where you just kind of start weighing up what's worth it and what's not. So that's just something that you can try if you do suffer with food noise. Again, if you do have it, don't start thinking, oh, I have ADHD if I have food noise. No, like, I think everyone experiences a little bit of it, especially when there's a bit of restriction in your life when it comes to food. Like, when you go from eating whatever you want to actually having to moderate now what you eat, like, it can just be heightened that little bit more. It's like that child again in the candy shop. It wants what it can't have. But do try have your meals more regularly. Have a bit of a routine rather than like kind of being up and down with your meal times and chopping and changing and stuff like that. You know, one day I have one meal, the next day I have 3, and then the next day after I only have one again. Try have a bit of consistency and a bit of a routine going on. And also, sleep is really important because, you know, that has a domino effect on everything. So if you're suffering with food noise and you're only getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night, like, that's going to heighten cravings because your body's lacking energy. It's running on petrol fumes. It's screaming at you to eat for energy because it's lacking energy due to lack of sleep. So your cravings are going to be heightened. Leptin is going to be in the gutter, which tells your brain that, you know, send a message to your stomach telling your stomach that you're full. Ghrelin is going to be heightened because you're going to be more hungry because your body needs energy. It's just a fiasco. Hunger hormones are going haywire. And then if you suffer with food noise, it's going to be even worse then if you lack sleep. Okay, so sleep is really important. That can help it. Again, having the routine with the meals. Like, I think you should have a little bit of sugar in your diet every day because, let's be honest, like, the sugary food tastes nice, but if we have too much of it, obviously it's very calorically dense, so we are going to waste a lot of calories if we eat a lot of it. But like, making room for the fun foods, I call them, the chocolate, the sweets and stuff like that. Restricting yourself too much is going to make food noise even louder. So try to find ways, you know, like zero calorie sauces, zero calorie syrups, sugar-free drinks. Sometimes I get like those 9-calorie jelly pots and it makes me feel like I've had sweets, you know. And sometimes you're just tricking your brain into thinking that it's eating something that's not. You know, it's craving sugar, it's craving something sweet, but your body doesn't know the difference between jelly that's 1,000 calories versus jelly that's 9 calories. It just knows it's eating something sweet. So little things like that, little hacks, little kind of substitutes and stuff can help keep food noise at bay. But when you go into full blown restriction and you're like, I'm not eating bread, I'm not eating sugar, I'm not eating this, I'm not eating the things I enjoy, I'm not eating a takeaway, food noise will become so much more louder. So do allow the fun foods in moderation. Look after your sleep and try to develop a routine like that 2-hour rule that I spoke about, because it will make dieting that bit more bearable. Okay. So I hope that's helped. And appreciate you tuning in. And I'll be back next week with my next episode. I'll also do a review on how I found the ADHD meds. Now, it is a stimulant, the ADHD meds that I'm on. So, and the great thing about the ADHD meds is that you can choose when to take them. So I probably won't take them on weekends because I try not to be in work mode on the weekends. But Monday to Friday, I do tend to, obviously, I'm doing check-ins with clients. I'm doing other stuff that, you know, needs my focus. So that's when I'll take it. So that's the good thing about it. You don't have to take it consistently. You might just want to take it on the day that, you know, is pretty demanding and you need your full focus. You need your full attention. But caffeine is also a stimulant and I love my coffee. So I'll still be able to have it. I'm just going to have to go for a decaf. And also the energy gels that I have for running. These are caffeinated gels. Am I saying that right? And I need to switch back now to the glucose ones because I don't want to be taking ADHD medication, then going out on an 18-kilometer run and having 4 caffeine gels in the space of nearly 2 hours on top of ADHD meds that are also a stimulant. Because I'll end up being like a jack in the box and I won't be able to sit still for probably a week. So yeah, I'll probably just switch to decaf on the days where I take my ADHD meds. But look, I hope that you've benefited from this podcast anyway. I'll give you the full lowdown next week. Hopefully the scale starts to move as well and there'll be some further changes with my deficit. But once again, thanks for listening and I hope you have a great week.